Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. There is one man whose imprint on our lives can never be erased. Even from the grave, we feel the impact of our fathers. In the Bible, fathers are responsible for the spiritual well-being of their wives and children. Today, we explore the power of a dad's example for good or ill. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on reclaiming the family. Join us now for A Father's Long Shadow.
Today I want you to hear the cry of 20 million children who are living without a father in the home. These are lyrics by David Meese about his own fatherless home. Sometimes at night I lie awake, longing inside for my father's embrace. Sometimes at night I wander downstairs, pray he'll return, but no one was there. Oh, how I cried, a child all alone, waiting for him to come home. My father's chair sat in an empty room. My father's chair covered with sheets of gloom. My father's chair, through all the years and all the tears, I cried in vain. No one was there in my father's chair. Today I'm going to preach a message which I wish were heard throughout the world, a father's long shadow. You and I are impacted by our father much more than we realize. Fathers can bless us, fathers can encourage us, fathers can diminish us, and fathers can curse us. They have it all within their power. Today my text is taken from the book of Malachi. Malachi, an Old Testament prophet, the last book of the Old Testament. Find the place where the Old and the New Testament meet, and it is pronounced Malachi, not Malachi, like an Italian friend of mine thought it was. Because this message is so serious and so necessary and so life-transforming, before we read the text, I would like to pray one more time, asking God to do what no man can. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father, we ask in Jesus' name that this for many will be a transforming moment. For fathers who are listening, we ask that you will open their hearts, go where no man can, deep within their souls. For all of the children, and that's all of us, of fathers, we pray that we might be reconciled to our fathers to break the impasse, the curses of fathers who have done us harm and not good. We pray today that as we speak about reclaiming the family, that this will be a powerful step in that direction for everyone who is listening. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Or as some translations put it, unless I come and strike the land with a curse. When God ends the Old Testament, he ends with a warning. And the warning is that if the hearts of fathers are not turned toward the children and the children toward the fathers, if there is not reconciliation within the home, judgment is coming. That's God's last word to fathers in the Old Testament. You open up the New Testament and you find in Luke chapter 1 that when John the Baptist is born, the prophecy says he will go forth in the power and the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers toward the children. The Old Testament opens with an emphasis on reconciliation within the home. The New Testament opens with an emphasis in the same direction. God says it is important for restoration and reconciliation within the home. Why is the role of the father so critical? Yes, of course, mothers have a great influence, but God holds the father accountable for his wife and for his children. First of all, because the father is the mirror of the home. As children try to find out who in the world they really are and find out their identity, try to find out whether they are valuable or valueless, find out whether they are worth anything, they look to the father to find out how valuable they are. That's why fathers can diminish their children by belittling them, by criticizing them, by telling them things that they should never be told, by striking at their hearts. Like the father who told his adopted son in a moment of anger, "You are nothing but the product of a one-night stand." The father knew that to kill the boy would mean that the father would go to jail, so he wouldn't do that. What he wanted to do is to destroy the boy's soul. And he did it through terrible, terrifying words. So who are you? You're growing up, you're trying to figure that out. It's dad who reflects back to you who you are, because you see yourself through his eyes. He's not only the mirror in the home, he's also the thermostat in the home. He's the one who's going to set the temperature. Are we going to have a home with harmony and with respect among the siblings? Is that what we're going to have? Or are we going to have a home where everyone can say whatever they like, they can swear, they can cut others down, and they can do practically anything in disrespect to one another? The father determines that. This past week, my wife and I were talking to a couple, and they were telling us about a home that they were acquainted with where they said every disagreement ended in an argument and every argument ended in a fight. We're going to duke it out. The father determines whether it's going to be that kind of a home or a home where there is optimism, encouragement, strength, belief, and joy. Dad, it's up to you. He's also the compass in the home. He determines what direction the home is going to go. Are we just going to keep going year after year the way things are and never better ourselves, never try to improve ourselves, sit around, watch television, maybe read a newspaper, live from paycheck to paycheck with no goals, no initiative? It's the dad who sets that tone and that direction. Well, what happens when there isn't a dad in the home? Well, the power of the father extends over the family whether he is there or not. And when he's not there, his power is limitless. Girls growing up without a dad don't know whether they are sexually attractive. They don't know whether or not they have value. They need the affirmation of a man, and dad isn't there. So they begin to test the waters, begin to find others with whom they can have a relationship, and pretty soon fall into the arms of young men who abuse them and use them and then toss them away and tell them they're worthless, and the cycle begins all over again. Young boys wrestling in their spirits between being aggressive, as young men are, and also needing self-restraint, they don't know where the boundaries are. So what they're going to do is to look to other men to try to affirm them, to try to find out about masculinity, and almost inevitably they will choose those who will use them, who will mistreat them, and who will do them harm at the latter end. And that's what happens. Mike Singletary, whose name is known here in Chicago because of the fame that he achieved playing on the Chicago Bears, said that he grew up without a father. And when he goes to prisons, he always asks the men as he speaks to them, "How many of you have had a good relationship with your father? Raise your hand." Singletary says that up until now, not a single hand has ever been raised. The curse of fatherlessness. My outline today is rather simple. We're going to learn, first of all, how a father can turn his heart toward his child to win his child's heart. And then we're going to talk about making peace with our fathers, whether they are dead or alive. That's the agenda. First of all, how does a father take a child who is turned off, a child whose heart is closed, how does he get the child to open his heart? The child has a clenched fist, as it were, and the question is, you can pry his fingers open, but they will always go back. Or you can win the child's heart so that he will open his hand on his own. How do you win a child's heart? This is Pastor Lutzer. So how do you win a child's heart? There's a story I like to tell from Aesop's Fables, and I use it from time to time. It's the story of the sun having an argument with the wind. And the argument is this: who of us is able to get that man who's walking along the road, who of us is able to get him to take his coat off? So the wind said, "I will try." The wind blew and blew with all the velocity that it could possibly muster. And the more it blew, the more tightly the man held the coat close around him. "I'll try it," said the sun. So it was the sun's turn, and the sun began to beat down upon the man, and pretty soon, voluntarily, he took that coat off. Fathers today, would you know that it is possible, I believe, under God, for you to be able to get your child to open his or her heart to you? Probably not by the wind, but by the sun. By your love, by your sense of acceptance, by your willingness to be involved in the life of your child, by showing him his value or her value. And in that kind of a warm relationship, you will discover most often, and there are some exceptions, but most often you will discover that children open up their hearts to their dad. Oh, Dad, today, what a responsibility God has put upon our shoulders, because I'm a dad too to three lovely daughters. And God is asking us today, live in such a way that our children are willing to open their lives to us, so that in doing that they open their lives to God. May the Lord help us to see it achieved.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing A Father's Long Shadow, the third of seven messages on reclaiming the family. Next time, don't miss four requirements to win a child's heart. Reclaiming the Family can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.